Thrashcast, Melian Pritchard, and as always, Ross Alexander.
Hello.
So, how good is Guardians of the Galaxy?
Oh my god.
On a scale of 1 to awesome?
Yeah, it's definitely the awesome end.
The awesome end, yeah. Best film of the year?
Yes.
I think it might be. I think I've seen the best two films I've seen in the past few weeks. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and Guardians of the Galaxy are, other than maybe The Raid perhaps, probably two of the best films I've seen this year.
Wow.
But Guardians of the Galaxy is one of those films where I come out and I immediately wanted to watch it again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was exactly the same.
You've seen it twice now, haven't you?
Yeah, well, I went on my own last night to go see it again.
So obviously you're pretty keen on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was absolutely fantastic. And I'm not sure if you went to see it in a full cinema, but I went to see it with what I assume were a lot of people who just had no idea what to expect or, you know, didn't know the characters or anything like that. Because I know jack shit about it. But
I've already got one of their comic books.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, I had the full gamut of emotions in the cinema. Like, you know, the laughs played really well. And
we should probably say spoilers at this
Well,
point.
We won't spoil. We'll just say there is a sad bit.
Yeah.
A bit which kind of, certainly one bit.
Right at the beginning. And
one at the beginning.
Close to the end.
Which had tears, but there's one at the end in particular.
Yeah.
Which, when you break it down, is absurd that you could even get emotionally attached to it. It's just absurd.
Uh-huh.
However, I mean, I was like, I wasn't crying because, like, I'm solid, but
you got off on it?
Well, I had a semi. Okay, right, it wasn't that much. I've got weird sexual taste, but beyond me, the rest of the cinema, it was in complete tatters. One guy behind me wasn't crying; he was flat out bawling his eyes out.
Wow!
Like, yeah, I know, like a true European. Like, he wasn't. Like, you know, it wasn't like I turned
I've
around
never heard that expression.
And saw just a tear roll down his cheek or anything. This guy was crying out loud, and then, you know, afterwards you had to put up with him kind of sniffing for 10 minutes afterwards. I was like, really, dude? You know, because Bethan was crying, as I expected.
Yeah.
But, like, the whole cinema, you could hear, you know, people crying, but this one dude just went all out. He was just like, that's it. I'm going. I've let it go. I'm just going to fucking cry my ass off. So, you know, it had the full range, but I think mostly it was the last, but I think they nailed every aspect of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it was a perfect film, but...
No, it wasn't. Like, the villain.
That was
a better villain.
Well, that was the thing. I think it was always going to be tricky for the villain because, you know, when you think of another ensemble, the other ensemble piece, you think of Avengers.
Yeah, and they've all had at least one movie for you to get to.
And even the bad guy. It had, you know, a movie. If anything, what got lost in that film were the other bad guys who hadn't, like, Thanos' goons, who kind of just came in flying ships. It was like, who are these guys and why do I give a shit? You know, they were just no-face villains. And that kind of happened. He was fine, but he just kind of grumbled a lot and that was about it.
Yeah.
Like, he was just, oh, he's, like, really horrible. Okay. But, you know, I think they did the right thing because that happens in a lot of these films. Like, you know, it even happened in the first Iron Man film with someone as good as Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, all the emphasis is on the character. And in that film, they had so much to kind of deliver. You know, they had five characters. And not only that, they had a whole universe to explain
away
kind of thing. Because, you know, this is... You wouldn't have had to have seen the other Marvel films to enjoy this.
No.
You could just jump in and enjoy this as an independent kind of, you know...
Well, that's pretty much what I think its strength lies in that it's still Marvel. It's still very much a Marvel movie, but it's isolated from, you know, pretty much the rest. Like, there's certain characters that cross over.
Yeah.
And there's some that are suggested.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But really, the only Marvel hero that we've seen that even has the means to really reach that world
is Thor. Yeah. Well, it's definitely on that level, isn't it? But there's no mention of the other characters.
No.
You know, the only mention that you get of is of, like, the bad guys that are kind of brought up in previous films.
Yes.
And that's it, you know. And, you know, it just stands alone on its own. They do enough to kind of... If anything, it doesn't even feel like it's moving the universe, you know, other than the mention of Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
It still feels like completely its own film. And even when obviously at the end, it's kind of suggestive of a sequel, which we now know is going to happen in 2017,
well,
I think.
It's not just suggestive, it outright tells you.
Will
return.
Yeah, isn't that like a
Bond
reference? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome.
It's like, no, duh.
Yeah. They're definitely coming back. And then, of course, the numbers came in. 91 million opening weekend
it's
in America.
So like,
it's like, yeah, this is definitely coming back.
This is James Gunn. He makes weird cult movies.
He made Slither, didn't he?
Yeah. He also wrote Lollipop Chainsaw, the video game.
Did he really?
Uh-huh.
I love that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's such a great 80s homage. And that, Well, the kind of sense of humour is quite similar, and again, very 80s.
There's, like, fair enough, it's a good action film, but it is a comedy.
Yeah. First and foremost.
There's not a single character that doesn't have a funny line in that film.
No.
But I can't believe I laughed at something that Batista said.
Oh, he, arguably, I think he had the best line in the film. About,
I wasn't listening.
No, about the
his reflexes?
Yeah, going above his head. Yeah. It's like, nothing would go above my head, I would catch it, I am too fast. That's just like, that is such an awesome line.
Yeah.
I love that line. I could go into, look, there are quite a few.
But we that, to be honest, some people would probably consider that a spoiler.
Maybe. Sorry, okay.
Even if it's out of context.
There's one other moment, I won't say what happens, but Groot does something, and then you just see his face afterwards.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say, you see his face, and it brought the house down in the cinema.
That's just as good the second time around.
Oh, I bet. But I still think the star of the show, and he is going to be a superstar.
Rocket.
I think Chris Pratt.
Oh, right. Oh, well, he's kind of already
taken. Yeah, but I think this is absolute. Well, you know, his biggest role, let's be honest, was the Lego movie, where he was a voice.
That's
I still think in terms of a face, he wasn't very well known.
Parks and Rec, which I haven't seen, but.
Yeah, and he's been in, like, he was in, what was that film? Was it Her he was in, and he was in Moneyball.
Haven't seen Her, because it had a very limited cinematic.
Yeah, but it had really good reviews. It's supposed to be fantastic. Yeah. But he put his face up there.
Speaking of faces, have you seen the thing about Joaquin Phoenix's face? He has a forehead face.
A forehead face.
There's a scene in Her where he's like, apparently, if you flip, I'll show you it later, and you'll laugh your arse off. But like, Google it or YouTube it. It's
so what do people need to Google?
Joaquin Phoenix
forehead face. Oh, I look forward to it. I wish I could comment, but I have no idea what you're talking about, so maybe one for next week.
But yeah, Chris Pratt, I'm really happy for him, because he seems like such a, like,
well, that's what everyone keeps saying. Honestly, I think they could, he's got such kind of positive kudos with like comic book fan stuff now. You could literally announce him as Indiana Jones, and people would be like,
man, people are really hinting towards that.
Well, that's what I mean. The fact that they would go as far as to say Indiana Jones. Like, most people are just like, right, like, you can't have another Indiana Jones. It's got to be Harrison Ford. But, you know, he's got that kind of that kind of wave of positivity behind him. That would work.
And that he takes a kick in and he's funny.
Yeah. Like, well, that's he's got that down. He's kind of charming. He's handsome, but not too handsome.
It's why people like Nathan. It's exactly the same reason people like Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, exactly. He looks like he can take an ass whipping.
Yeah.
He's charming. He's funny, but he's not kind of just like boringly good. Like sounds like such a kind of lame thing to say, but boringly good looking.
Like, it's traditionally kind of, good looking.
Well, yeah, because I think some guys, like, they can look a bit bland. Like, it's one of the reasons. And it'll sound like jealousy, but it's honestly the case. Like, I look at something like Arrow, for instance, and I haven't watched that, because every time I see it, I'm like, it just looks like an Abercrombie advert with a guy dressed
up
as Arrow.
Get where you're coming
from.
That's
all I get from it, kind of thing. Yeah. And it's completely put me off watching it. Like, I've seen the adverts for The Flash, and that's
they look like
think,
the kind of guys that you see their picture in the front of hair salons.
Yeah, totally. Just like a
generic handsome man.
Yeah, generic handsome man number three. Playing Arrow.
Yeah.
Like maybe the show's good, and I haven't watched it, but there is something to be said about these guys who are just, like, boringly handsome kind of thing, and they've just got no character. With someone like Chris Pratt, like, he looks like he'd be your mate.
The thing is, historically, if you look at what having your own Marvel franchise does to, like, male actors, like, Chris Hemsworth, fair enough, he was kind of up and coming, as he was Thor, he's getting action roles all over the place.
Well, it's a weird thing with the like. Don't get me wrong; the actors are obviously going on and having very successful careers.
Same with Tom Hiddleston,
Robert Downey Jr. Don't get me wrong; it's not having like the Star Wars or the Superman effect. It's having positive effects on their careers. But if anything, Guardians of the Galaxy proves is that it's not names which are these movies now. It is literally the Marvel brand.
Yeah.
Like, if you put Marvel from the makers of the Avengers. 90 million. I mean, don't get me wrong, this had very good word of mouth.
Yeah.
But this was a tough sell on paper.
Yeah.
And they literally saw, don't get me wrong, like, the positive word of mouth will make a difference. And you know what? This will remain at the top of the box office for a while, because people are going to come out raving about this film.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. I can't imagine anyone coming out and being like, that was a bit shit. I just can't see it happening.
There's, like, I can't think anyone would be too earnest about it, but I can see people who want to be controversial will do it.
There'll always be a small group.
They'll find one little thing and they'll pick it apart.
But I honestly think the general public if people get dragged along and like, oh, I don't know anything about the Guardians, they'll see it and they'll come back and they'll tell their friends, like, you don't need to know anything about the Marvel Universe. It doesn't matter if you don't know the Guardians of the Galaxy. This just works as a kind of 80s style space opera kind of thing. And it just totally works. The characters are all fantastic. Some of it's borderline cheesy, but even those bits, they seem to pull off.
Yeah.
And before we move on, it might have the best end credit sequence ever. Like, the two parts are both amazing. There's one straight after the Guardians of the Galaxy will return, which again, I thought brought the house down. A lot of people enjoyed that. The last bit, I mean, I won't say anything about it at all. I was like, that is audacious to say the least.
Yeah.
But I thought it was very, very cool.
You know who it is that does the voice as well?
No?
Seth Green.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I had no idea. I know Nathan Fillion is the pink monster thing, isn't he? Because everyone said Nathan Fillion's in Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, is he? That's right.
He does the voice of the big bully guy who they run into in the prison.
That's right.
Again, we got to be careful here. We are going to talk about spoiler. I can't speak spoiler territory. So we'll move away from that.
Do you have a favourite one?
What character?
Favourite Guardian of the Galaxy.
Yeah, I think it is
Star-Lord.
Yeah, I think so.
Mine's Rocket, definitely.
The thing is, I like them all.
Yeah.
I do genuinely like them all. But I think Chris Pratt is so good as Star. Like, the other characters arguably have... I don't know, I see that they have better lines. Chris Pratt has an array of fantastic lines. And the opening is amazing.
Bouncing around.
Oh, it's so good. We got to be careful, yeah. All right, we're going to move on. We'll come back to it next week. We'll maybe kind of, you know, blurt out the spoilers next week.
Yeah.
You know, give people a chance. But go see it. If you haven't seen it, it's absolutely fantastic.
It's been out for a week. I've seen it twice.
Yeah. Well, I'll
literally see it again before it goes out the cinema.
Have you seen it on IMAX?
No.
Oh, it's amazing.
I'm not willing to pay that kind of money.
It is. Like, I had to pay $5.70 extra with my Cineworld card, but I'm not going to lie, it was worth it. Like, I literally pay for IMAX like 3 times a year, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, I handpick a few films. I'm like, I'm going to pay the extra. That. Like, I watched Spider-Man for those first person shots.
Right.
I paid for, obviously, Guardians of the Galaxy, and I accidentally paid for Hercules, because I showed up for a certain time, and I didn't know it was an IMAX. I was like, oh, okay. Speaking of Hercules, I've seen that. It's okay. It's not bad. It's probably better than it should be, and a large part of that is down to The Rock being very, very watchable.
Yeah.
And they've put, like, a clever twist on it, going for a more realistic edge. But it's one of those films, like, I literally started forgetting about it as I was walking out the cinema.
Yeah.
But you'll probably enjoy it. You know, if you've got any inclination, think, oh, I might watch that. Chances are, I doubt you'll come away disappointed.
Something happened when we were at the trailers. I couldn't believe it, but the Expendables 3 trailer came on, and Kyler was actually like, I was like, what?
See, I'm thinking about stopping watching films this year in the cinema, because I've had such a good run recently. And the thing is, I'm a sucker. I'll go out and I'll watch the Expendables 3, but I know I won't enjoy it. When the first Expendables came out, it literally sounded like a film made for me.
Yeah.
I grew up, like, you know, late 80s, early 90s, and I kind of was brought up, like, my parents were very cool with me watching, like, 18 rated movies. Like, so I was like, when I was like, you know, 8, 9, 10 stuff, I was watching Commando, Predator, Aliens, Die Hard, stuff like that. So to see all these action movies guys back together, I was like, this is a film made for me. And the one thing I was really looking forward to, and something that's lost from 80s cinema, something I thought we'd never get again, and I don't think we will now, is that earnestness.
Yeah.
Like, and it relates to action movies, such as stuff like Commando, Predator, that they can do it. There's no wink, there's no nod.
Yeah.
It's straight down the middle, and it works because it is so cheesy.
I think it will come back. And I think
that's the thing. I think
Hercules, isn't...
No, it's not quite the same. And so, like, Expendables could have been that, but they don't get it. Like, part of it is earnest, but then part of it's done with a big, like, wink and a nudge, and it doesn't, and the new one's, like, a 12A, which can fucking do one as far as I'm concerned, but it doesn't quite get the balance right. I thought they should have played it right down the middle. It's the same as films like...
There's a bit of dissonance between the...
Yeah, it doesn't...
And how it feels.
What's the other ones? Like, films like Ferris Bueller and stuff like that, John Hughes, yeah. Like, you go back and watch your John Hughes films, they're so cheesy, but, like, they're played so sincerely.
Yeah.
You could never have a film like that again. They wouldn't be played that sincerely. There would have to be a wink and a nudge. There would have to be kind of this self-awareness, which wasn't there in the 80s. And that's the problem with The Expendables. It's too self-aware, or at least half of it self-aware. It's an odd mix, and I don't think it really works. And The new one hasn't had great reviews either.
I think if there is some kind of new John Hughes, he's probably an independent filmmaker. I can't imagine a big studio making that kind of movie these days.
Yeah, maybe not.
They probably do exist somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure they do, but there's a certain like innocence to like 80s cinema. Maybe I'm being kind of nostalgic for it.
No, I think, maybe I am as well, but no, I think you're right.
But I'm not sure if it'll ever be kind of... Even if they tried to make a film like that, it would still be self-aware in a certain way, if you see what I mean. It's like, I don't like this new wave of, terrible movies.
Transformers.
Oh, yeah, well...
There you go.
No, that is a good example. But stuff like Sharknado.
Right.
Like, I watched Sharknado 2. It's gash.
Yeah.
Because it's knowingly rubbish, so it's just rubbish. The point of, like... enjoyably bad movies are bad movies which think they're good and are just, you know, somebody's gone out to make a good film, it's been shit. Like Ed Wood, you know, he made these films, he didn't think he was making shit films, he thought he was making good films, they just happen to be bollocks, and that's the charm. Whereas I don't get this whole shit for the sake of being shit thing. I just, to me, it just ends up being a shit movie. I watched like 30 minutes of Sharknado and I was like, this is bollocks. It's not funny bollocks. Funny bollocks. I shouldn't be laughing at that. Shows my sense of
funny bollocks.
Yeah, I do have. Well, bollocks by definition are pretty hilarious. I mean, come on, what's going on with those? But yeah, I don't think those work at all.
Oh right, well, see a doctor.
Well, balls. Yeah, mine just, they just kind of sit there. I'm not. Well, you know, they're weird things, aren't they? Just hanging out there. Although genitalia on both sides are pretty odd.
Okay.
Like, let's not pretend. Like, women have got these beautiful flower things going on.
Please stop.
No.
I'm trying to pull on the brake here.
Right, penises are horrendous looking things. Horrendous looking things.
Oh, how did we derail so quickly?
This is your fault. What was it? Wasn't it, who's that Irish comedian who said it looks like a dead fish hanging out of a shark's mouth or something?
Is that Dylan Moran?
Dylan Moran, yeah. And he's right, that's what a penis is. But then, I don't think vaginas are much better looking either. And I love the women. But you've got to be in that kind of...
That was convincing.
No,
I love the women, but vaginas are
really great. No, I do. No, when you're in a certain state of mind, you go down there and everything seems good. But if you just show me a picture when you're not really in the mood, you're like, wow, that's an odd looking thing, isn't it?
Okay, so that's just scaring away any female listeners we might have.
Yeah, I said penises are horrible as well.
Okay,
so, you know,
that's fine.
I just think genitalia across the board, unless you are in the zone...
So to speak,
then they're pretty fucked up. let's move on. We haven't even mentioned video games, but I've got a few more video game things to mention.
Okay.
The more I see it, and I think this could be the... it's hard to get serious again. The IMAX effect.
Yes.
But the more I see the Interstellar trailer, the more I'm on board. At first, I wasn't sure, but I saw it again on IMAX when I went to see... Guardians of the Galaxy, and I was like, I want to see this now. I totally want to see this. The reconnaissance is in full effect. I am on board, and I want to see this. And plus, it's a Nolan film, so I was going to see it anyway. But
yeah. I don't know. I was never the big fan of what's his name.
Nolan.
No, not Nolan. the actor.
McConaughey.
Never liked Matthew McConaughey.
Nobody did.
But he's had a real renaissance in the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, he's got his own term, the reconnaissance. So,
is that a thing?
That's a thing, yeah. I didn't just make that up. That's a thing. The reconnaissance started a few years ago with the Lincoln Lawyer and Mud and stuff, and it's just gone, like, it just seems...
Wolf of Wall Street, yeah. You're like, wow.
Everything he touches at the moment turns to gold. Like, he just, you know, after years of making...
I haven't seen True Detective yet, but apparently that's
brilliant.
Really good.
He's fantastic in that. And after years of making horrible, horrible rom-coms... my brother went through this phase of buying terrible McConaughey films. It was really weird. Like, one is literally called Surfer Dude. It's like, fucking hell, dude. But everything he's
doing...
That's
a sequel.
Yes, fuck yes. But he can't stop doing great stuff, and they're already on about Interstellar being up as a potential Oscar contender. So, you know...
That seems very presumptuous, but fair enough.
Yeah. Well, you watch.
Special effects, maybe.
Well, the film looks like Oscar bait to me. I know it's a sci-fi, and sci-fi does struggle, but it looks like very serious sci-fi.
Maybe.
It looks like the kind
of... Well, it's a Nolan film.
Yeah.
Serious.
But, you know, even something like, Inception, that was serious, but it was still very whimsical. Whereas this one is built on more solid foundations. This is built on, you know, the concept of the Earth is running out of you know, out of food kind of thing. So something has to be done. So it's more kind of relatable on a human level rather than, all right, this is a film about a dream and a dream and a dream and a dream and a dream, which is just bonkers.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't see why not, although, as we know, as I said, sci-fi just struggled at the Oscars. But speaking of films which are coming up, I mean, The Hobbit, I still haven't even bothered watching The Hobbit trailer. I'm finding myself, like, I just don't care.
I haven't watched the trailer because I don't want to see it.
I haven't watched it because I don't care. Yeah, the opposite. But I tell you what, one thing I'm excited about, though, and not I told you...
Not the in-betweeners.
I'll go watch that. That'll be fine. But the, I told you... It was shit. But this one's had good reviews. Because I was like, I'm going to leave it. Like, I was like, I'm not sure if I'm going to go watch it. I'm going to leave it down to the reviews. And the reviews have all been
good. I was just like, the TV show, I loved the first two seasons. And the third season was pretty good.
Yeah.
And completely then great. The movie, it was like, what?
Except for the bit with the dancing, which was fucking dynamite. The whole, I don't think I've ever been in a cinema which has got one scene has got such an outrageous laugh.
I think my issue with it is that the concept of the lads' holiday, especially to a place like that, to do the kind of stuff they're doing, is my idea of hell on earth. Like, if someone, you would have to pay me to go to Ibiza in the summer.
Oh yeah, like I especially now, like I what were we watching recently? That show where like kids go on their first lads' holiday and their parents watch them on like secret video, which is pointless because it's all being filmed and they'd see it anyway. But I guess the point is like you get to see the parents' reaction.
Season two, they introduce some kind of taser system, so the parents can taser. That would be
pretty good. But I watched that and I'm like, that looks like the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
But I've been on one of those lads' holiday, and even when I was like 18, they were horrendous. But The first...
sunstroke and diarrhea.
Just twats, basically.
You're surrounded by wankers.
Yeah, there are so many wankers.
And there's so many drugs. Like, fair enough, if drugs is your thing, whatever.
Mm.
But at least over here, you know, you go to a club for that kind of thing, and if you don't want that, you don't go to the club. Whereas, apparently, that island just turns into a giant rave.
Well, that's the thing. Drugs can be fun. However, if everybody's doing them, a lot of people act like twats when they're on drugs. The problem is, if everyone's doing drugs, you need to also be on drugs.
Yeah.
Like, if you're also on drugs, you can put up with people on drugs. If you're not on drugs,
we're not condoning peer pressure here.
No, certainly not. I'm just saying.
Impressionable listeners.
If everyone's on drugs and it's getting a bit annoying, drop a couple of pills.
Oh, God.
And you'll be absolutely fine. I'm just saying. Like, listen, you do a couple of lines of coke, I'll say you straight. You'll be on level. But it's exactly the same with alcohol. If you went out, absolutely. If you go to like a bar when everyone's pissed and you're not pissed, everyone's a retard. And you just cannot stand it. Everyone's annoying. Like that's why I completely understand why Beth never goes out, because like she says, it's fun for like a few hours and everyone gets pissed and everyone's talking bollocks basically, and you're just not on the same page. It's exactly the same with drugs. So yeah, just you know, be warned. You have to put up with that. But in between these two, the reviews have been pretty good, so I might go and watch it. But obviously, I'm sure you'll be going to see it as well. Did you see, and I said there'd be a teaser trailer at Comic-Con for Batman Superman?
Oh, no.
You didn't see the teaser? Like, it's recorded by a guy on his phone.
Yeah, well, I heard that it was taken down, like, straight away.
The best. It's so cool. Like, it's so very much, what's the name? Dark Knight Returns.
Right, okay.
Like, it's literally, set the scene, it's Batman, like, it's rainy Gotham, Batman in the big mechanical, Superman Buster suit kind of thing. He pulls off, like, the tarp kind of thing, off, like, the bat sign, and the bat, like, the camera follows the light, and in the sky, and it's all, like, lightning and raining and stuff. It's the bat signal. In the middle of the bat signal is Superman.
With the red eyes.
And his red eyes light up, and then it goes back to Batman's face, and his eyes light up white, like, in the comic books, and I'm just like, right, it's geek bait.
Yeah.
Fuck me, did that ever work? I was like, you literally couldn't have made a cooler teaser trailer for that film. Yeah. Like, it's unquite, like, that is the coolest teaser trailer I think I've ever seen. And that was on, like, a phone.
No dialogue whatsoever.
No dialogue.
Well, Zack Snyder is at least playing to his...
Oh, well, that's the only thing with Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder makes the best trailers in the world. He doesn't make the best movies. Like, the original trailer for The Man of Steel was amazing. Uh-huh. With, like, the new soundtrack and and you're just like, this looks like the best film ever.
I still enjoyed Man of Steel.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think it goes off the rails a bit towards the end, but I think that film gets a very bad rap, and I think if that's not made by Zack Snyder, I think that gets better reviews.
I know it's controversial because, like, I love Christopher Reeve as well, but I honestly think it's the best Superman movie.
I think it is. The other ones, don't get me wrong, they've got their place and very much their movies of their time, with him being the super earnest Superman and stuff like that, yeah, really to the comic books. But, you know, you go back and watch those, the bit when he, like, spins the world yeah, back, like, it's silly.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, if they were going to do a Man of Steel now, they had to update it. And they're obviously universe building.
Yeah.
And they had to make it kind of feasible that they exactly, could be in the same universe. Yeah. And I think they've done that. And it'll be very interesting. Again, a lot of people gave shit to the Wonder Woman reveal. I was like, what were you expecting? Like, blue and white star-spangled banners?
Yeah.
Like, let's not be fucking idiots here.
Yeah.
I think they've made her look like a warrior princess who, like, looks like she can kick some ass. Uh-huh. I'm all for it. Like, what do you... Really? Do you just want giant hits and a lasso?
I think they do. Well, yeah, some of them do.
Yeah. But I... So far, I like everything I've seen, but that teaser trailer was the balls. What else was there? I tell you, speaking of something which looks like we're back on balls here, have you seen the Deadpool test footage?
Yeah, yeah.
It's fucking awesome. I thought, it's the whole thing CG, literally everything.
I don't know why, but I think so.
Because at first I thought it was like Deadpool was CG, but then Bethan was like, because I told my wife to watch it, and she's like, the guys in the car are CG.
Yeah.
And they are, totally yeah, are.
But I don't know why. Surely it's cheaper.
I guess it's just cheaper just because it's a big action scene, just to put it all in the computer rather than filming a big action scene, because you know it's on a busy motorway.
Yeah.
If you want a busy motorway, you've got to rent out a busy motorway.
But there's scenes inside the car. I suppose it's probably for disparity.
Yeah, they're just like, well, we'll keep it all in here. Again, test footage. They're probably like, well, we don't want to go out on site. We don't want to film. They might not even have the equipment. We're just like, we'll put this all on a computer. But it looked the part. It sounded the part.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really funny. The favorite bit was the money shot. The bit when the car's flipping and he's got the drawing and he's pointing to the guy before yeah, he starts. I was like, that is so fucking Deadpool. So, yeah, I hope that gets made because that looks awesome.
Yeah.
Because people forget, like, as bad as the Wolverine turned out, it actually started off quite well when he was, like, he didn't have the mask, but he was just being Deadpool.
Oh, Wolverine Origins.
Yeah, yeah. When he was just talking shit at the start of the film, Deadpool, that was all pretty good. It was quite funny. It was just, at the end, yeah, take Deadpool and we'll sew his mouth shut.
Yeah.
Literally. Who's fuck? Like, okay, let's forget about that.
Yeah.
We should talk about games. We should talk about games.
Okay.
We haven't talked about games, and we are, like, nearly 30 minutes in. Ridiculous. So usually at this point, we talk about what we've played. So, have you played anything?
Yeah. So, I played and finished The Stick of Truth.
Oh, that's awesome, right?
It's pretty good.
Pretty good?
It's, look,
might be my favourite game of the year so far.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Because the actual gameplay itself is really
completely works, I think. I think any deeper and it wouldn't work. I think there's enough depth there.
I don't think there is.
And it is, without question, the funniest video game I've ever played.
It's funny.
Like, there are so few video games. That is genuinely funny. The bit when you're fighting in front of your parents having sex is outrageous.
Yeah.
It gets more and more outrageous as it goes, that game.
Yeah.
It really does. Like, you know, the Nazi babies and all that jazz.
Nazi aborted fetuses.
It's awesome.
Including Khloe Kardashian's one that is the size of, like, a car.
It's so messed up.
It's so far. Like,
I just love how they keep trying to sound up where I'm at.
That's some of the worst stuff that Trey Parker and Matt Stone have ever done.
It is pretty on the button, isn't it? Yeah. It is on the nose, that shit.
And like, the thing is, we have the censored version. The thing is, they censored stuff that you see in the TV show.
They've obviously made a weird kind of statement, like, you can't see anything being inserted into anyone. That seems to be the main thing, doesn't it? Is anytime you know somebody's getting penetrated, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I just find it unbelievable that you can see aborted fetuses as Nazi zombies, but you can't see...
You go inside Mr. Slave's ass!
Yeah, there's a whole level in an ass, and yet you can't see Randy take a cock.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a dildo. And it's so ridiculous. Again, Randy's so funny.
Yeah.
He's so brilliant. That whole scene on the spaceship. But I honestly think the gameplay is perfectly suited to that game. I think any more, and it would have seemed... you know, the fact that it was 12 hours long was perfect as well.
Yeah.
It didn't drag on.
I got pretty bored of it. I had butters for, like, the entire campaign.
I mixed it up a bit. I did keep with butters, but I do love butters, though. But, you know, I did mix it up a bit. I just thought for a 12-hour game, you know, it kept things moving. There were enough unlockable abilities. I just thought they got the balance right. I can see where you're coming from, and I feel like a lot of people will agree with you. But for me, like, I just thought they got the balance bang on. And at the moment, that is easily in my top three games of the year, without question.
I guess there's not much competition, then, do you?
There's a bit, I suppose, but not a standout game, perhaps.
Yeah.
Anything else?
So Mario Kart Wii.
That's awesome.
After playing a little bit of the older Mario Kart, I was like, I've got a Wii. I really need to play this.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah.
I think it gets a bad rap. I think it's a fantastic game. you know, balance wise, everyone will moan about it, but the fact of the matter is, it's super fun.
Yeah.
And especially when played with friends, it's got loads of stages. Still looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to go back, I guess, after like the Wii U version, but I think for a Wii game, it's like really pretty. And yeah. It's Mario Kart.
Carl and I played a fair bit of it, so I've unlocked all the tracks now. I just played the 50cc campaign. So.
It's hard to, like, the 150cc, trying to get all gold on that is fucking nails.
Well, I've managed to get, like,
that will drive you insane. If you go for that, expect just mayhem.
I've got like A's and B's,
uh-huh.
And then I've got like one gold star, two gold stars. I don't know like what these actually mean.
Oh, the gold stars, if they're the same as those on the Wii U version, essentially when you complete a tournament, if you come first place in every race, you get three gold stars.
No, well, it's not the same.
Well, on that one, you get, like, if you win every race, you get three gold stars. If you win, like, three races, you get two gold stars. And if you win one or two, you get one gold star.
Yeah.
If you, and whatever. Something along those lines, anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, a great game, and, you know, well worth playing if you haven't got a Wii U. But obviously, if you do have a Wii U, and you, let's be honest, if you've got a Wii U, you almost certainly have
it already.
It's like, I think the attach rate is, like, almost 50%.
Yeah.
Something ridiculous. And rightly so, because it's an absolutely amazing game.
That's only going to rise, especially through Christmas.
Oh, yeah, yeah. People, like, with Smash Brothers as well, like, you know, people will keep... It's never going to be a massive hit, the Wii U.
Yeah.
But it looks like, you know, it'll get over the finish line kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Eventually, I think it'll start making the money.
I think so.
But, you know, it's not going to... It's going to be, like... I think they'd be happy with GameCube numbers. If they can come away with, like, lifetime sales of, like, 20, 25, I think they'll take the hit and just be like, okay, we haven't made much, we haven't lost that much. And just kind of looked the next generation, but
they have stuff coming down the pipeline. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, Bayonetta 2, Smash Brothers, mm-hmm. X, whatever it was called. There are games out there.
Hyrule Warriors is coming.
Hyrule Warriors, that looks kind of cool.
You've got, obviously, having Zelda on the horizon is something that people are always going to have to rely on.
But it's still, I can't see anything turning this into, like, unless, you know, they pull, like, a brain training or a Pokemon out of their ass.
I don't think
so. You know, I don't think the Wii U's ever going to be, you know, it's going to finish in third place, I think. But, you know, I think it'll sell okay. I don't think it's going to be the disaster that some people thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to finish in third place, but it's in part due to the fact that the other two have been so successful so quickly.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially the PS3. The PS3 is actually outselling the Xbox One like 3-1 at the moment.
Yeah.
Which is going into news territory, so we'll get to that eventually. But
okay.
Anything else?
No, that's pretty much it.
Pretty much it. What have I been playing? I actually finished two games in one day, which was very rare recently. Because I went down to London with work, and on the way back up on the plane, I was went back to A Link Between Worlds, which is one of the best games of the generation so far. It's an absolutely fantastic Zelda game. And I finished that on the train home, and then I had a bit of time when I got back to finish off Infamous Second Son. And I literally 100%ed so much that I collected everything and cleared out all the DUP forces and stuff.
Is it a platinum trophy?
No, because I'd have to replay it as like a bad Delsin,
right, okay.
And I'd have to do it on the hardest difficulty setting.
It's so cheap.
This. And I cannot be fucked. I don't like playing as the bad guy. I like playing as the good guy.
Yeah.
It's just the way I am. But it's very similar to the past Infamous games. It's not a jump forward in terms of mechanics or anything.
No.
It looks great.
Yeah.
The new powers are pretty cool. Although they all play, other than actual for movement, in terms of fighting, it's all much of a muchness.
Fair enough.
But I like Delsin. The more the game went on, I like Delsin. I like the bad guy, or the bad woman, as it were.
All right.
Yeah, it's a solid game. Thoroughly enjoyable, but if you didn't like the other Infamous games, this isn't going to be the one to change your mind. I've always liked the Infamous series, and
yeah.
I like this one, but I think with the next one, they're going to have to do something to freshen it up, because it just feels like another Infamous game, for better and for worse. What else did I play? Oh, Wolfenstein.
Right.
New Order. I'm not crazy about it at the moment. However, I've only played 45 minutes, and I've heard the first hour is the worst hour of the whole game.
Yeah.
I heard it really gets a lot better.
I really want to play it. I got it for my little brother for his birthday.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He can be quite hard to please when it comes to video games.
Yeah.
Like, he's one of these Call of Duty, FIFA.
Players. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I got Wolfenstein. Last year I got Doom, and I don't think he was really that taken with Doom.
Uh-huh.
Because he, I mean...
Just prefers Call of Duty.
Game mechanics have come on so much since,
yeah, yeah,
since
totally.
Doom 3. So he loved Wolfenstein.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's a good mix of kind of what I've played of it so far, of the old and the new. But as I said, at the moment, it just feels like a very linear... kind of, you know, it's old school in that. The only thing at the moment I'm finding annoying is that I keep having to press X to pick stuff up.
Right.
You don't just pick stuff up as you run over it. But the problem is there's no reason not to pick everything up.
Let's go back to Bioshock, isn't it?
So it's, yeah, but even with, I guess even with Bioshock, you'd still pick up everything. But even more so with this, there's no, like, trash or anything like that. Yeah. It's all just armor and money and bullets.
Uh-huh.
It's like, why aren't I just picking this up automatically? So that's a bit annoying. It's kind of a throwback thing, which I'm not enjoying so much. But, it, you know, it looks nice. It's playing pretty well. But at the moment, it's not exactly setting my world alight. But, again, I heard it gets a lot better after that first hour. So, you know, extended report next week.
Yeah.
What is very good, unquestionably, is Rogue Legacy. That's brilliant. I got that for review. Fantastic game. Like, really old school.
I saw that on the review list. I thought you might go for that.
Oh, yeah, it's brilliant. Like, it's a roguelike game. For those who don't know it, you know, these kind of procedurally generated games with permanent death, you know, retro graphics. And this is very much of that ilk. However, it's played out in a kind of side-scrolling action game, kind of like Ghosts and Goblins kind of thing. But, like, it looks really good. It's, like, the retro graphics. And it is nails. But this whole idea that you...
Cats. You see, this is what makes it really
interesting. Oh, yeah, and it works. It's, like, you know, when you die, your heir takes up the kind of mission, gets all your old equipment, but more importantly, has, like, a specific ailment.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some have gigantism, some have dwarfism, but then some have, like, flatulence, some have OCD... what was it? What you can get?
One's got ADHD and he goes really quickly.
Yeah, really fast. One of them has like color blindness, so everything plays out in black and white.
Yeah,
it's, you know, it's not a huge thing, but some of them have more of an effect on gameplay.
It's
than
a hook.
Yeah, totally. It gives it a unique edge, and
I like that one of them, they can be gay and it changes nothing.
Yeah, he's just gay. That's it. But yeah, that's a really good game. You know, it's cross multi-platform. It's kind of making up for the lack of games on PS3, because that's the thing. I finished. What's his face? Infamous.
Uh-huh.
Traded that in because I was like, I'm not going to play that again. And I literally, I own a PlayStation 4 and I don't actually have any physical games at the moment. Because there's like nothing I wanted to get. I mean, there's multi-platform stuff, but I'm still kind of...
August, man, we're not too far away.
It's coming soon, yeah. For all my moaning, there's just going to be too many games soon. But the only other one, and it's what my wife is literally still at home, she literally finished the story mode just as I was leaving, is Pikmin 3.
Uh-huh.
It's become an obsession. And it's a fantastic game. It's so pretty. It's so unique.
It's so quintessentially Miyamoto.
Oh, yeah, really.
Just Nintendo, but Miyamoto.
Very Miyamoto. But it's such a kind of charming... Like, there's no other game quite like it. It's a kind of RTS action game.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get very attached to these little Pikmin. And it is one of the best-looking games on the Wii U, I think. And, you know, for all the complaints about, you know, games being too brown and grey, play Pikmin. It's green as fuck.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic game and well worth playing. Other than that, Wolf Among Us, and that's about
it. Have you finished it? Or?
Wolf Among Us, yeah. Still not finished. I'm on like episode 4, I think.
All right, okay.
Very good though.
Yeah, I will get round to it.
Yeah.
I really do want to finish it, but I'm kind of hoping for a sale or something.
Oh, well, I've got it. I bought the season pass like ages ago when it was on sale.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to finish it, but it's just this week I was away from work, so I was playing Zelda, and as soon as I came back, I had PlayStation stuff to play. And then I bought Wolfenstein. I was like, I want to play this now. I was caught between that and what's the other one? Watch Dogs.
All right.
But I was like, I think
you may have gotten the better deal here.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I'll blitz through Watch Dogs. I mean, Wolfenstein's like 10 hours on, I think.
Yeah.
I'll get through that pretty quick. It's only single player. And
it's four discs on the Xbox 360.
Is it really?
Uh-huh.
Jesus Christ, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. You know, these older consoles are starting to creak now. Although, saying that, supposedly they've done a great job with Destiny, with the beta, which was amazing. I can't wait for Destiny. That's just going to eat up my life. That's very dangerous. News this week, the EA Xbox One subscription, that's causing a lot of fuss. I think a lot of people are hating on it just because it's EA and it's only on the Xbox.
Well,
I think it sounds like a pretty good deal.
Well,
I don't see the
Sony have come out and said that the reason they didn't pick it up was because they didn't think it was good.
It's bullshit. It's because they've got PlayStation Plus and they don't want it to be a competing offering on their system.
Yeah.
But this idea that it's not a good deal, I don't think that holds water. You can, you know, pay for the whole service for what, like £30 a year or something like that?
Something like that.
And you get like, alright, they're not the newest games, but you know, say you're getting like, you know, the latest FIFA or something like that, you know, like one game costs like £40 at the very least, and you're getting like four or five games for the whole year.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a bad service. And sometimes, you know, like this idea that a lot of these games I wouldn't necessarily play for more than a month anyway.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, say the World Cup's on, like, and you're just like, oh, I fancy playing FIFA. You can just rent it for a month. You know, we used to, like, pay £5 for a video game, one video game, for like 2 days.
Yeah.
Like, you can get 4 games for a month for like £5.
I remember begging my mum during the summer holidays so that we could go to Blockbuster.
Yeah.
And I distinctly remember that.
And just renting games.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, I'm not saying it's the best deal ever, but I don't think it's a bad deal. I think it's getting a very bad rap. I think it was always likely that if this system was this kind of service was going to come in, it was going to be publisher specific.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, there are a handful of publishers who have got a big enough kind of, you know, collection of games that they can do this. So
I'd like to see Ubisoft try it.
Yeah, yeah, Ubisoft, Activision, you know. I'm not.
Other than Call of Duty, what would Activision?
Well, they are going to have arguably the two biggest games on the planet. So, like, if Destiny's as big as people say.
Similar, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
In their genre, at least.
Yeah. What else has Activision got?
Because they don't really have sports titles.
No. They do have... I can't think. Fair play, you've caught me there. I can't think of anything. But, you know, I think this might be the way forward. But, yeah, I don't think it's necessarily a bad deal. And I think the other thing, obviously, with the Sony PlayStation thing, it's not just PlayStation Plus, it's PlayStation Now. Which, yeah. If you want to talk about fucking rip-off, talk about PlayStation Now.
Yeah,
I cannot believe in a world where, like, Sony seems to have mind control over people.
It's a somewhat ironic name because it's not... It's
now,
coming,
yeah, back. PlayStation sometime next year, yeah. Doesn't quite have the same ring, but you know, you can rent these games for like £6, and this is like £5 or whatever it is for the whole month, and yeah. You get 4 or 5 games. I just don't see how this is. I think it sounds like a much better deal than PlayStation Now, but that's just me. But yeah. Very strange. Speaking of PlayStation 4. Does anybody give a shit about the fact that Little Big Planet 3 is coming out this year? I just thought about it. It's one of those games. It's coming out, like, it's due for release on November the 18th. It was, you know, they showed it at E3. And not a single person seemed to give a toss.
It's weird. Sony really push it as a flagship game.
Yeah. Nobody cares.
I've played the second one for, like, an hour and got bored.
Well, that's the thing. It felt like one of those games that I should love. But it's all very floaty. Like, even Beth and I was like, Beth is going to love this. She loves platformers. It's all very cute. You can dress up your little dudes. But then you start playing it, and everyone's floaty, and you're dragging stuff around. And it just, I don't know, it just doesn't...
There isn't really much of a feeling of accomplishment.
No.
Either. You don't get, like, what gamers are looking for is that endorphin rush.
Yeah, but even then, there are collectibles and stuff which work in that respect. But
stickers.
Yeah, but gamers, and I'm the same. Like, if I've got something to collect, I'm big on that. And as soon as like Big Planet started with like the voiceover by Stephen Fry, I was like, this game looks
charming,
amazing. I was totally on board. And then for me, it's not so much the framework; it's literally the mechanics. It's too floaty. It's just I when you come from Mario and even Rayman, which is pretty slick.
Yeah.
This just feels too all over the shop, and if this is this plays the same, I think it's gonna toil as well, because I just don't think anyone gives a shit. But obviously, PlayStation aren't gonna worry about it because they're outselling the Xbox 3-1, which is very, very impressive. So yeah. It'll be interesting to see how it works out over Christmas with the Halo Master Chief Collection, how well that does.
Yeah.
Last of Us Remastered's obviously done pretty well.
It's just come out, yeah.
Yeah, which I still, like I said last week, I don't care about because I played it too recently. Although I did see a new selection of adverts, which are very interesting, from the US and Xbox One. It's one called Best Games and one called Best Multiplayer.
Right.
And as they're going through, obviously, the games they've got and all that jazz, it's got voiceovers. One is it from Rocky VI. Saying about, oh, when you get beat back down, it's about how you come back up. That's what winning's made of, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of got, you know, and the other one's Billy Bob Thornton from Friday Night Lights. These big kind of sporting chats about, you know, making comebacks, being the underdog. So it's like they're kind of openly admitting that they're currently the underdog, that PlayStation is winning, which I think everyone's like, oh, I'm amazed they're admitting that. It's like everyone knows that PlayStation's winning at the moment. I thought, oh, that was kind of cool that they would have the kind of... It's another of those Xbox moves where you just can't imagine they would have done that 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But now it's like, you know, they're not going to treat gamers like idiots. They know that people, like, PlayStation's winning, but that, you know, they're making this message like, oh, we're going to keep fighting and we're going to keep, you know, trying to win this battle. We're not giving up on it, kind of thing. And I thought it was actually pretty cool.
I mean, I spent yesterday afternoon, basically after work, I still had a bit of a wait before the movie started.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and I was playing Battlefield 4 on the PS4 for a little while, and I was like, it just doesn't feel right. So then I went and played a few kind of demos on the PS4, and I was like, I'm going to go play Titanfall.
Yeah.
So I turned the PS4 off.
Where was this, sir?
At the office.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then went through and started up the Xbox One instead.
Yeah.
And played like an hour of Titanfall.
Titanfall's awesome.
And it really, it's making me, I really do like the Xbox One's controller.
Yeah, me too. Although it's, I like the PS4 one as well, so.
Things like the haptic feedback triggers.
Yeah.
I want to play Forza with that.
I tell you one thing, right? I know, and it's literally, it works for me literally as a really fancy microphone, because I never use the Kinect for anything other. But the voice,
shouting at your TV.
I love the voice commands. It's like, again, we were watching Netflix last night, and it's just little things. Like, I'm just playing a game, and Beth's like, "Oh, let's watch a movie," and I just put down the controller, like Xbox, go to Netflix, and it just bam goes there. Mm-hmm. Like, go to blah blah blah, and when you're even watching it. It's like if I want to go up and make a cup of tea, it sounds like such a little thing, but I'm like Xbox pause. And it all works perfectly.
Yeah.
And just like those nice little touches I do like. And it was like yesterday, I had a big decision to make. Because this is the first time I've had an Xbox One and a PS4, and I was buying a multi-platform title.
Wolfenstein.
And I was like, fuck, what do I buy it on? I was like, in the end, I'm not going to lie, achievement swayed me. Because I've got over 100,000 achievement score, which is outrageous. 100,000.
Jesus.
I've got like 103,000.
I think I've just passed 60,000.
Which is pretty good. I mean, that's not too far behind me when you think about it. You know, you're less than half behind me. But yeah, I'm on like 103,000, 104,000. I was like, I care more about achievements than trophies. And I do prefer achievements to trophies.
Yeah.
I like the number attached to them rather than bronze.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think what I mentioned before, the fact that I lost trophies when I didn't sync my PS3 before I swapped it for a Slim.
Yeah.
And I lost them. That was annoying. I was like, fuck you. But yeah, like, I know that they might look a little better on PS4, but I don't care.
Yeah.
It's such a trip. Like, I know some people, it's a big thing, this whole 60 frames per second, 180, 1080p.
There's a few experts I've heard who say that unless your TV's over maybe 50 inches,
it doesn't matter. Yeah, I haven't. I'm sure, like, you know, like, I gotta be honest, I saw a video, a side by side of the PS3 and PS4 versions of The Last of Us, and I kept forgetting which one was which. No, seriously, like, I'm not bad, like, I love that game, but I kept looking, I was like, It looks the same to me. I'm sure, like, if you stilled it, you'd be like, oh, I can see that one's slightly nicer, you know, it's a bit crisper. But when I'm playing the game, that doesn't matter, because it still looks fantastic. It would have to be noticeably uglier. But, hey-ho. Other than that, Deep Silver buys Homefront from Crytek, so good news.
Yeah,
so much that that's actually coming out.
It's good to know that people aren't losing their jobs, and it's good to know that the game's going to get made.
Yeah, and Rise, they're actually porting Rise to the PC. And the big thing about that, that's going to be in 4K and stuff, and it's going to be as Rise should be. Rise looked fantastic on the Xbox One, by the way. I still think, even after Infamous, Rise is the best looking game I've played, without question.
Yeah.
But obviously, that's going to look a better game again
on
the PC.
It's an insane amount of clarity to get, like, four times full
HD. No, it's ridiculous. But the thing, it doesn't interest me because I don't like PCs. They can go fuck themselves.
Oh, no, I mean, like because you would need a monitor that can support
it. Oh, yeah, you need a monitor, like the full works. And, like, that sounds great.
Don't
get me wrong, if someone's like, listen, you've got, like, a 4K video game console, and that'd be fantastic, but I'm never, ever going to play PC games. Ever, ever, ever. Like, there are PC games I want to play, but I have not got enough hours in my day to be fucking around with PCs. I've already got three consoles, all the new ones. And the idea that I can put in a game and it doesn't work straight away, like, I'm bad with stuff like this. I'll end up flipping the table, screaming, jumping out of a window. I get very upset when technology does not go my way. So, yeah, it's out of the question. But yeah, Deep Silver, they'll put some money behind that. You know, hopefully it'll be good. Crytek, hopefully, I'm one of the few people, I genuinely hope they'll make Arise 2. I thoroughly enjoyed that game, so.
I don't think you're the only one.
I'd much prefer Arise 2 than to a Crysis 4. I like Crysis. But by the end, I was just like, I don't really feel like I need another one.
Oh, God, the PS Plus games for this month are shit.
Was it
Crysis 3?
That's pretty good. It's a good game. I finished it.
Still haven't played the first
game. I just don't fuck off. I know, I can see where you're coming from. Like,
Xbox has given away Dishonored this month.
Well, that's the thing. Like, they're turning the tables bit by bit.
And you get to keep that motherfucker.
No, you don't anymore. They've changed it on Xbox Live now, so it falls in line with the PlayStation Plus service. Really? Yeah, so if you...
They kept that quiet.
They did mention it. But again, I'm going to have Xbox Live as long as I have an Xbox, so... Yeah. And the thing is, it's not like 20 years from now I'm going to be like, oh, I've got to play Dishonored. Like, I really like Dishonored. And I'm actually going to go back to it when it's for free. The only problem is, I'm literally going to stop buying downloadable games on the Xbox One. Because I've bought every single one. They've released 4 games for free. And I have every one. Like, the 2 ones this month were the Panzer Dragoon clone. What's it called?
Red Dragon?
Dragon.
Crimson Dragon.
Crimson Dragon. Already got that, and
I remember when we were looking when we saw that trailer at first, you were like, oh, maybe, and I was like, shit, and you were like, oh, maybe, and I was like,
I quite liked it, but then I'm a Panzer Dragoon fan, and I was sickened by the fact that it looks a bit like that. It's not as good, but it's fine. But I bought Strike Suit Zero already, so yeah, I already had the games, and the last month, Halo Spartan Assault and Brotherhood the Curse of Lollipops or something.
Yeah.
I had both of those, so I'm just like, oh, all these kind of cool games, but I've got them. So I was thinking about buying that Super Time Force game recently.
Oh yeah.
But I'm like, no, because that's the exact kind of game which will end up on Xbox Gold next month. So I'm like, I'm not going to buy anymore. Yeah.
By all accounts, it's really good.
Yeah. But what was the other? Fez was on PS4 and PS3. You don't like Fez, though. That's an awesome game.
It's not that I don't like it. I'm bored by it.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. But I really enjoy that game. But I've already got it.
I should hear that. I know that Phil Fish is a bit of a prick.
Yeah, he's a likable one. He's such an asshole, but
he's
quite
passionate. Like him. Yeah.
Give him that. He's an asshole, but I quite like hearing his rants, though. Whereas other people, like, they get angry. I'm just like, oh, he's a douchebag. With Phil Fish, I'm like, yeah, you tell him, Phil, you dickhead. I don't know, I just seem to quite enjoy his rants.
I think it's just because the people that he's being... Like, the people that make him a dick are bigger dicks than he is.
Yeah. Yeah, he's, like, the slightly more likable dick, which, again, sounds very odd, especially considering my aversion to penis, as I mentioned earlier. I'm not going to get carried away again. GamesCon is coming soon. That promises to have many, many... games. What's the word I'm looking for?
Announcements?
Yeah, reveals, announcements, all that stuff. You know, people's... I don't think it's as big as E3. I don't care what anyone says.
It's getting there.
But it'll be interesting to see this year how much, you know, these companies put into Gamescom. It's like what they're willing to reveal. And, you know, Sony keeps saying they're going to reveal some big stuff. And I think they need to. I know they're doing really well, but I still don't think they've got the games on the horizon. So that'll be, I think Sony are due a big show at some point. Microsoft the game, so, you know, we'll talk about that next week, but I'm sure that'll promise to have some interesting reveals.
I'm looking forward to seeing what comes out.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting about Nintendo, because Nintendo, you know, the despite the Wii U selling 2.82 million copies as of, like, last month, okay. Nintendo's still losing money.
Yeah.
So, you know, the 3DS as well, it'll be interesting. Will, because people keep saying there's nothing on the horizon with 3DS, but I think people are underestimating how big Smash Brothers, and I know it's an older game, but a revamped Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire, that's going to be one of the biggest games of the year. Like, people are like, oh, it's not a new Pokemon. It looks like a new Pokemon, because, you know, this isn't a lazy revamp. It looks like a new Pokemon game, but it's Pokemon Ruby Sapphire, and most kids won't have played Pokemon Ruby Sapphire. You know, people our age might have.
Fuck yeah.
But, like, the majority of kids who will be buying, like, 3DSs now.
Wasn't that, like, 2002? Was it Ruby and Sapphire?
That was on the Game Boy Advance, wasn't it?
It came after Red, Blue, and Yellow.
Maybe. We'll say yes. Needless to say, it was a while ago.
It was like Pearl and Diamond. That was DS.
Mm-hmm. I think this was before DS.
It was.
But that's gonna be massive. They're still on about, like, they've got this projection of selling like 12 million 3DS before the end of the year. That's gonna be a tough target to hit. But you know, I think Nintendo are getting there. It'll be interesting to see, as we said before, how Amiibo does. But yet still they are in, you know, they're still losing money, so poor old Nintendo. But you know, they're slowly, surely, but
building it back up.
They'll get there eventually. We're already on an hour, so maybe we can leave the topics until next week, because I was going to mention best looking launch games ever, which we were going to mention last week but didn't get around to it. So maybe we can promise to mention that next week. We will go have a look at the best-looking launch games of all time.
Speaking of how launch games look, did you hear someone suing Sony because Killzone isn't as good-looking as he thought
it
was?
Because they said it was 1080p, and it's like nearly 1080p, or it's only
something. It's upscaled.
If there's no way he's winning that. If he wins that, it just opens the door for mayhem.
I don't know, it's possible that he would. It's possible.
Surely not.
Purely on technical grounds.
If he
it'd be one of these really snivelling, like some snivelling bastard that would actually call him on it.
It just sets a precedent. Like, if he wins that, then people go after games all over the place. But I guess, you know, the fact is maybe even after the game's released, they're still saying, oh no, this is 1080p.
Yeah.
Maybe that's different. Maybe they are literally on the basis that they're not promising something and it doesn't get delivered. They're like, they're still telling you, no, this is 1080p.
Yeah.
So maybe he does have a chance on that, right? But
maybe.
I don't know. I just don't care. Like, if someone had told me that was a 1080p, I would have been, oh, okay, fine. It didn't look any better to me. Like, it looked like a pretty game, but there was nothing about it. I was like, oh, look how 1080p it is. I'm just like, it looks pretty to me. I have no idea how much 1080p has an effect on that, but it's a good-looking game. I still think the faces look shit. But yeah, God, it's amazing what people sue. Only in America, surely. What was the other thing? Oh, yeah, it was... supposedly 20 million people watched the Dota 2 championship.
Ugh.
Which is crazy. And it was actually, they had 2 million viewers simultaneously.
It was ESPN, I think, that picked it up.
And it was shown on ESPN 2 and 3. But the biggest news was that it supposedly had a bigger prize.
$10 million.
Well, it was $5 million to the winners alone, which is, like, supposedly the pot for the tournament was bigger than, like, the Open. Which is just insane.
Fucking hell.
That's what I heard anyway.
But they, like, I know that I think it's a team of 4 or 5 became millionaires.
Yeah, right 5 million. Yeah, yeah.
Like,
they won
straight
it.
Away.
Well, that's the thing. Like, don't get me wrong. This is the biggest competition, like, in esports.
Yeah.
And the other ones don't have the same kind of monetary value. But it's
I think that's so fucked up.
Yeah,
like,
but
like
it's to do totally with you know, viewing figures,
yeah,
like, and popularity. But I think we are getting to that point now where it's getting more and more accepted. Outside of places, like, you know, it's obviously already huge in Korea.
ESPN.
Yeah, yeah. Like, this will eventually catch on. The problem is that it's getting people to watch it who don't play the game.
The
and
giant,
I think
Giant Bombcast, actually, one of their guys was there.
Okay.
And they spoke about it at length.
Yeah.
And Dota, MOBAs.
Yeah.
Bore the fuck out.
Yeah,
like,
I had no idea what's going on.
I know that it's basically what they did was they took the old Warcraft 3 engine, stripped it apart, built this game out of it, and now they're, was it multi-online battle arenas?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I've seen it. They don't look very nice.
Nope.
And, like, the gameplay, fair enough if you play the game yourself.
Oh, it makes sense.
It makes sense. But...
to an outsider.
The barriers to entry. That's what really surprises me. There's so much getting in the way.
Well, that game in particular, which is quite surprising that would be the game to kind of, you know, really break through into.
Yeah.
Like, being on ESPN. Again, it's because, you know, it's weird, PC gaming in that respect, and MOBAs and stuff. Because outside of the people who don't play it, there's no, like, middle ground.
No.
There's not, like... like, there's loads of people who play Call of Duty, then there's loads of people who know about Call of Duty, and then there's a few people who just don't know. With MOBAs, you either play it and love it, or you don't know anything about it. Like, I'm hugely into games, and I still don't feel like I know jack shit about MOBAs.
Yeah.
I could go up to my mate, I was like, oh, do you hear about Dota 2? Like, if they don't play Dota 2 specifically, they have no idea what I'm talking about. Whereas, you know, if you go up to, say, Call of Duty, they know, and that's why... you know,
I think it's called Defense of the Ancients. That's what Dota's short for.
I have no idea.
I have no idea.
But, you know, I keep thinking...
League of Legends.
If something's going to kick off in a big way, you think it'd be something like Call of Duty or a fighting game. Because it's literally just... it's just like, look, people are shooting people.
I can understand Street Fighter being... like, because that is two people, very intense. It's only for maybe a minute at a time.
Uh-huh.
But very exciting to watch.
Yeah.
And Dota, I can understand that if you can see the bigger picture, you can see what's going on, and you can see how one decision affects gameplay, and how something that you do now can affect the game at the end.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's a little bit like watching Formula One, in that you know that just because someone is in fifth,
mm-hmm.
they could still easily win because they're on fresher tires than everyone else.
Yeah. Formula One is one of those sports, like, the more you know about, the more it kind of goes up. But then equally, it has the benefit of being a spectacle.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't think Dota 2, without the knowledge, is not a spectacle.
See, I'm the same, but we could just be being very...
No, I don't. I honestly think the only people who watch Dota 2 are people who play Dota 2. It just so happens that, despite most people not knowing what it's about, there are billions of people who play Dota 2. Like, it's incredibly popular, but it's got its own world. Like, millions of people play it, but like you said, there's no bleed out from it. You either play it or you don't.
Yeah.
Whereas, again, like I said, Call of Duty, even if you don't play it, you know about it. And immediately...
You know that if you shoot the person, that's
then,
good for
then
you.
They're dead, yeah. So, you know, I do think these things are catching on. And I think stuff like Twitch will help. Like, I never used to watch sports, but I have slowly but surely started watching bits and bobs of
Twitch. One of the guys at work just constantly streams it.
Really?
Like... Even the announcers are now becoming famous.
Yeah, and that will become a thing. And bizarrely enough, I think the announcers are going to be the most important part of popularising
these games.
Because if you've got...
That's the public face in sport.
Yeah, well, not only that, but if you're watching, say, even Dota 2, and you've never watched it before, if you've got a commentator who can explain to you in an entertaining way what's happening while not alienating the hardcore. Like, you know, finding that balance kind of thing between, you know, making sure nobody feels left out. You know, you're still explaining stuff, but you're not, like, you know, talking to the pros like they're idiots. It's a hard balancing act to get. And I think if they can get those kind of people in, like, you know, Call of Duty, if you're showing that, if you've got an entertaining commentator who can bring it to life, I think they're going to play a huge part in the potential popularity of esports.
Yeah.
But, I think there's definitely a future for it. I think we're still at the point as well where we're waiting for, like, sponsors to kind of... Like, once the sponsors come in...
I'd say they're starting to really come in now.
They are, but that's what I mean with Dota and stuff. But if they can get them in the smaller tournaments, therefore the money coming into them grows. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, with the sponsors, come the TV, and it'll have, like, a knock-on effect. It's definitely going to happen. It's just, you know... it'll be interesting to see whether console gaming kind of takes off in the same way.
Perhaps the IGN UK podcast, they had an interview with a couple of guys, a Scottish guy and an English guy, who have this thing where they're really trying to push esports in the UK.
Okay.
And they're saying that when they speak to sponsors, like, they show them what it is, and they're like, all right, okay. But then they show them the numbers, and then suddenly they're very excited.
Well, yeah, well, the numbers are growing exponentially, aren't they? And
I mean... We've never really spoken about esports, but I think it's because neither of us really watch them.
No, like you said, I've just started dipping into recently.
I know you love Street Fighter. I mean, I
enjoy Street Fighter, but I've never been. No, I go as far as say I love Street Fighter, but I've never been like I'm not a hardcore Street Fighter player.
Yeah.
Like I've always like I buy.
It's intimidating.
It is very intimidating, and I've never taken the time to get really good at a Street Fighter game. But I've played it enough that when I watch it, I know how difficult, and that's one of the big differences, is knowing how skillful what someone on screen is. Like, you know, like if like, there's a famous Street Fighter 3 clip where it's like guy's on his last legs.
And this is when Chun-Li goes into a special move and he parries
every
14 moves.
Yeah. Like, you know,
and you hear the crowd going crazy.
Yeah, mental, yeah. And it's like stuff like that.
It's
like
fucking awesome.
If you'd never played Street Fighter 3, you'd be like, you might not know why that's so special.
Yeah.
But I know how hard it is just to parry one fucking attack. To do that and with 1 ounce in a final, I mean, that is pressure gaming of the highest standard. I mean, that was I mean, that's got to be the quintessential kind of esports moment.
Yeah,
without question. You know, I'm sure there's stuff on MOBAs and certainly StarCraft in Korea, which. In fairness,
that's one little thing.
Well, if you do a bit of research, that's when it starts to become more impressive. Because I watched a bit of StarCraft and it just looked like mayhem. But I started doing a bit of reading and they were saying about ways of, you know, showing off, like saying how skillful you are, you know, StarCraft or whatever. And it's to do with moves per minute. And they showed a clip and it was all it was the camera was his hand.
Yeah,
moving.
Oh, I've seen that.
And it's somewhere between like 30 and 60 moves per minute.
He's going to have arthritis by the time he's 25.
30 and 60 independent tactical moves per minute. To get, like, that's insane. Once you start, like, once you see that, you start realising, even though I don't play it, like, how insane that is to have that kind of, like, that kind of foresight to kind of go, well, not only the skill, to go bang, bang, bang. Like, I'm not even sure if I could press the fucking mouse that quick. But to have that kind of like everything's doing something, you know, they're planning towards the future and that, you know, already like it's essentially a virtual game of chess.
Yeah.
But yeah, esports, I'm getting into it. It's kind of made me, this chat now, I'm like, I might go home and watch some Twitch. That is if Bethan's not still playing fucking Pikmin.
Well, you can watch APB on Twitch.
Could do.
Quite a lot of people.
I've never actually watched APB. I'm going to go home and watch APB, see what your job is all about.
Yeah. Well, my job is literally like the first hour. I'm very good at creating a new character, spawning them in, doing the tutorial missions to unlock my grenades and a field supplier.
Well, that is much more interesting than the proxy voting overview I'm going to send you by email, which you can read through over the next couple of hours. That's pretty impressive. I'm going to do a presentation on that to an American client next week, and I, for one, cannot wait.
You should swap it over and you should send them...
Just APB.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing. And it's just like, oh, I thought we'd try something different. So we're going to go through the finer points of APB's online infrastructure, so we'll just see what you think there. But that won't get me fired, but it'll be hilarious at least. Yeah, so that's pretty much it for this week, I think. So cool. Esports, the future. I'm going to go home and watch Twitch now. Games and stuff next week. Like, there's going to be all that Gamescom chat. Yeah, so, probably. You know, you should, you know, well, I'll try and tone down on the penis chat, certainly. But I try. Yeah, I promise nothing. I mean, if there's one thing we are on this podcast, it's liars. I'm tying you with the same brush here, aren't I? It is just me. I'm just a filthy liar.
I'm just desperately trying to wrangle the conversation.
Yeah, yeah. Ross is a good guy. So, you know, listen for Ross, if nothing else. But yeah, until next week, please check out the website because it's growing in popularity at exponential rates at the moment.
More stuff going on there.
Loads more content, obviously.
Up on N4G as well.
N4G, obviously the best stuff is still very much this, which you can also get on iTunes. Please subscribe, leave a review, whatever you want to do. But we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, all that goodness. But until next week, GTFO.
Bye.